Welcome back to Rob, Anybody, and Dawn. Email the show at radradio.com.
In about 30 minutes, we will be in the middle of the Mixed Pick Sports Show. Steve Mickelson and I will discuss March Madness, major changes in rules coming to the NFL, and the Shohei Ohtani story, as well as Sacramento Kings game tonight and where they're headed. I'm going to try to squeeze all of that into an hour on the Mixed Pick Sports Show at 10 a.m. on Rad TV, members.radradio.com, the Rad Radio app, and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 AM. And then at 11 a.m., it is Tech to You Tuesday with Ian from Tech to You, demonstrating some AI-generated music, completely unique songs that they created that they're going to demo on the show, how hackers are accessing 3 million hotel rooms using card access keys. You know, you don't have a key anymore. You just have a little access key.
Yeah.
They're just getting right into that and figuring out a whole bunch about you. And a bug that allowed a hacker to take full control of a Tesla in 30 seconds. That will be on Tech to You Tuesday at 11 a.m.
Cool.
On the same platforms.
Cool.
It's like a remote control car.
Man, I really want to learn this hotel key hack, to be honest.
But it could happen to you while you're staying at a hotel.
Yes, and I'd take the proper precautions to make sure I hide all my things.
A few more Superman. Emails. RAD at radradio.com. We got this nice note from Steven.
Hi, Steven.
Says, currently, I am living with my parents as I transition between homes post-breakup from a two-year relationship. It sucks to rely on my parents as a 35-year-old man, but hearing your discussion today, it's a good reminder that I am super lucky to have them. Thanks for the teary-eyed talk today, team. Great radio. We had a guy write in about losing his mom and such, and that's kind of led to a lot of cathartic emotional responses.
To that last letter writer, your mom probably loves doing your laundry and making you grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yes.
I'm partly joking, but I'm also being very serious.
Yes,
because they do
sure.
want you to come back.
Yes.
Most of them.
No, it's something that doesn't leave most of them. I mentioned earlier in the week that, you know, this ongoing quest to become the Michelin man on my part since I stopped drinking, which has just led me to eat food in portions that I never thought were possible. My mom has suddenly started, and she always did this occasionally, but it's almost like every other day now. She's preparing dishes from my childhood and sending them with my wife home and feeding me and fattening me up, because they do. They love it. It's like, oh, well, if Rob's eating like that, I mean, she couldn't believe I ate every goddamn stuffed pepper she made that she sent home like a week ago.
Not to bring it down again,
but
if I could have my mom's meals again, I would die. It would be such a gift to be able to make them, because she never wrote anything down. She did all of her meals from memory. And it's so ironic that she was such a great cook that she hated food so much that she was anorexic.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of sentimental things when my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, passed. And this might sound silly to some, but you know how women can be in their kitchens with the decor, right? It's all got to go together. There can't be anything in there that doesn't go with the decor. And so she has a recipe box, old school recipe box. I don't even know the design that's on the outside. It's a weird design. It has nothing to do with how I like to decorate. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It is my most prized thing from her, and it sits right there on the island. And she has it's her handwriting in there. Some are typed. Oh, I love it.
I wish I had that too.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And you don't think to do that now. Like, to have the handwritten, a lot of it is just, you know, in our notes on our phone,
mm-hmm.
right?
Or Google it.
Yeah, or if we've written it, you know, it's just written on, typed out on mm-hmm. a piece of paper or something that you print out on email. But there's just, to have her handwriting, I love it.
Mm. Yeah, I already have all my parents' recipes and know how to make them.
Well, good for you, and you still have your parents.
Yeah, and I don't care about handwriting. That's
of course
stupid.
You don't. You're not sentimental. Not talking to you.
Not about that. Oh, wow. I get to see handwriting.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. You know what? My sister-in-law did this. Oh, my gosh. She made this jewelry for the girls in the family with my mother-in-law's initials and then also things that she had written to each of us individuals. So it's got my name on it and her handwriting.
Ugh.
And put it on this jewelry. No, it's so amazing
garbage.
What she did. No, it's not garbage at all. I love it.
Hey, I'm sorry, but the literal expression is one man's garbage is another man's treasure. It's your treasure. It's my garbage. Farrah says to the letter writer a few years ago, before my mom died, my grandpa and I were talking about his childhood. And while talking, I was asking about his mom, who had died when he was 9. While talking about her, he began to cry. The only time I've ever seen my grandpa cry. It broke my heart. But the point of this is that 70 plus years later, it's still something that hurts. My mom died 15 years ago. Most of my memories make me smile now, but I still have my moments. It's like a roller coaster for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Stephanie says, Brandon is spot on. I compare it to the ocean waves. Some are softer, almost gentle waves of grief that brush against you softly like a fond memory. And then you get hit by a rogue wave or a king tide, and you feel like you're drowning. I was 26 when I lost my mother. We were all blindsided. Therapy and having someone close to talk to helps a lot. Lennon says, you nailed it. What he's dealing with is the gentleman has survivor's guilt. Remember, this is a guy, he left his house 20 minutes later. His mom was murdered, we think a few weeks, maybe a couple months ago. Lennon says, just takes time to work through. My friend was shot and killed back in August by his ex.
Oh, God.
I dealt with the what could I have done because he had called me hours prior to help get the rest of his stuff, and I didn't answer the phone to go with him, and that's when he lost his life. I have regretted it since, and I hope the emailer finds the help he needs to work through his pain. And again, in this example, had you been there, Lennon, maybe you'd be dead too. If his ex was willing to shoot him, might have shot you. There's no guarantee. Sounds like you're working on getting over it, but these scenarios that we create where we think, what could I have done? What could I have done? That's exactly what they are, is they're scenarios. We got this from Jasmine. I totally agree with Rob. You need to process that guilt. My dad killed himself, and for the first few months, all I could think about was that I was getting coffee while my dad was dying. It's a story that won't stop repeating in our minds when tragic deaths occur. What freed me was therapy, which included EMDR. It helped to rewrite the story I kept telling myself. After that, I was free to grieve. I still cry 7 years later. I miss my daddy. You'll always miss your mom, but it doesn't have to hurt so much. Another thing to look into that I've done that is incredibly powerful. And again, these things are not for everyone. EMDR does not work for everyone. Talk therapy doesn't work for everyone. Couch therapy, various things. There's a thing called brain spotting, which I would encourage people to at least try. It's specific to trauma and PTSD. Nothing is more PTSD than my mom was murdered 20 minutes after I left her house. And you might be amazed at the results. It might be nothing. It might not work for you at all. But both my wife and I have had tremendous results with brain spotting, if you can find someone.
The EMDR worked for me on one thing. And only a select people know of this one thing that happened. I do not talk about it publicly. And I mean, I had years of talk therapy, nothing. And EMDR wiped that out, I mean, in like a month. It was insane. But you know what? It didn't work for other things. But it worked for that one particular thing.
It's kind of like all forms of healing, whether you look at it through, you know, medicine or natural healing or whatever. Massage works great for some things, not others. Acupuncture, some things, not others. It's all the same thing.
So EMDR is like a rave, right? With a bunch of lasers and bubble, bubble party, like a flash sticks and things, and, right? Pacifiers.
One more. This one is from a name withheld dude.
Oh, hey, dude.
Who says, over the last 8 years, I have lost my dad. A year later, my brother, followed by my sister. And 2 years ago, my mom. I find comfort in thinking they still live through me and my experience. The pain gets easier over time, but there's never a day I don't think about them. On the brighter side, I love orphan jokes now.
Rob, anybody, and Dawn. The Rob, anybody, and Dawn show.